Awesome. Are you up for a message this morning? Yeah. Do you know what? Can I get you to stand? Let's pray this one in. I'm believing for God to move today. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for this moment in your church. Thank you that we get to get around your word and inspire each other. Lord, I pray you'd use me this morning just to lift these guys up, just to bring revelation, just to bring hope again, just to bring your heart. Lord, and I ask that everyone would leave this place better than the way they came in. That we'd all be a little bit more like Jesus. That we would see things how you see things, see people how you see people, and we would be willing to play our part in your kingdom. And all God's people said, as you sit down, touch someone else and say, he's got something for you this morning. Those of you who have been around a few weeks will know that we are in a series that I have called On Earth as in Heaven. The premise of this is when Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew 6, he said exactly that. He said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're looking at God's will and how we can play our part. We're on the earth, he's in heaven. And our goal is to bring heaven to earth so people experience something different. Even the way we've prayed this morning. Come on, punching through the darkness. People experience darkness on the earth, but there is glory in heaven that we get to call down. And it changes things. So that's the premise of the idea. And you know, we have these holy moments in worship. Wasn't it so good when we started just worshiping together and declaring the name of Jesus together? It's so, so good. But it's not just worshiping, the singing. Worship is the living it out day to day, playing your part in bringing heaven to earth every day. You are a spiritual person every day. And so I want to encourage you not just to be a worshiper here, but to be a worship wherever you are every day of the week. And that's our goal. Give me a wave if you were here with Pastor Robbie McCann. Yeah, a bunch of you were here. He was such a blessing to us, wasn't he? And I love what he brought. This idea that in the Greek plays, in years gone by, they had a greater understanding that there was something happening in what they would call the gods that was affecting something that was happening on the earth. And so in the Greek play, there was two levels. There was a mezzanine level where the gods were playing, and then there was a lower level where it was happening on earth. And what was happening up there was impacting what was happening here, and what was happening here was impacting what's happening here. There is something going on in the heavenlies impacting us. But here's what I want to challenge us today. Through prayer, we can impact the heavenlies. We're not just bystanders and watchers. We are in this. We are in partnership and relationship with Almighty God to bring heaven to earth. And so there are stuff going on in the heavens, a lot of it negative. But we get to call in the glory of the Lord. And we get a part to play in that. So that we I really want to ram that home today. Prayer clears the path. Give me a wave if you're believing for an answered prayer. And give me a belief, if you something, a breakthrough, a wall to come down, a provision, something. Prayer, God has heard you. But there is this battle in the heavenlies to release your answer to you, for you to experience it now. And what clears the way is prayer. It's worship, it's praise, it's lifting the name of Jesus. It's saying, I'm believing you're going to do what you say you're going to do, God. Because there's this battle, because there is also Satan. Satan, the word Satan means adversary. He is against you, and he is trying to stop the glory of the Lord coming. And all the while, the church is just tinkering along, not being bothered, half-hearted, lukewarm. Oh, I better do me little prayer. Thank you that you love me, Jesus. Amen. When we're doing that, it's making little difference. But when we're like, no, I know my Lord has heard me. I declare I'm going to receive that answer. I'm praying for my friend. I'm praying for my church. I'm praying for my family member. I will see it in this earth now. You're breaking through. You're punching through. You're making a difference. And the Lord comes through and you get your answer. On earth as in heaven. Jacob, in the Old Testament, he had this great dream, didn't he? And he laid his head down and he had this dream and heaven opened. And then this ladder came down. Jacob's ladder, famous, and the angels came down from heaven and they went from heaven to earth, and he just woke up and it really impacted him. He was like, wow, there's an open heaven. And I believe it's a picture for us today. We have an open heaven, but we have a part to play in it. You know, this idea of angels, I love this thought. You know, we're about to experience Christmas. Anyone getting Christmassy yet? Yeah. We did our first Christmas shopping yesterday. I know it's November, but I couldn't hold the girls back anymore. I really tried. But we went Christmas shopping yesterday, and it's good. But it was declared through a messenger angel. Gabriel came and he said to Mary, you're going to have a child. She's like, are you joking me? That's impossible. But what? Nothing's impossible with God. And so we experienced on earth something that was true in heaven. It was declared by an angel. Then there was Joseph. Imagine, men, if you're Joseph right now. You're not slept together. You're not even married yet. And she comes to you and says, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. How are you reacting? Any man in this room is like, are you literally joking me? But you know why Joseph didn't behave like that? Because the angel also visited him. And he said, your wife is pregnant. It's a God thing. And so the interaction from heaven to earth changed people's behavior. And I wonder, church, if we could grasp this better, that our prayers make a difference. It changes behavior. It can change your behavior. It could change a family member's behavior. It could change your boss's behavior. Because we bring in heaven to earth. Can you see it? Something is special. I love this. Let me show you my first verse, Hebrews 13, chapter 1 and 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. That's not a Barry weird thing to say. That's the Bible. How cool is that? You see, so often I think we have a picture of an angel with these great big wings who come down like this. But the Bible says you may have entertained an angel not knowing it, which suggests to me they look like people. I love this story I heard from Pastor Charlotte Gamble. Anyone familiar with Pastor Charlotte Gamble? I recommend her to you. Look her up. She leads Life Church in Bradford with her husband. And she was sharing one time, and it's a big church, maybe 5,000 people, big church. She goes all around the world and preaches. But she was feeling flat as a pancake. And it was the pre-service bit, and she was just sat in one of the chairs in the middle of the auditorium, looking at it. It's a huge, great big auditorium, and she just felt rubbish, and she just wasn't up for it. And this guy came and sat next to her, and he said, oh, Charlotte, I've never got a chance to speak to you before, but I just wanted to tell you, when you preach, it changes my life. Thank you. And it just lifted her up. And she got up the stage to preach, and she went to point out this man, and he wasn't there. And she says, I don't know, but I just wonder, was that an angel came to encourage me? Yeah. Now, you can't prove it, but the Bible says it's possible. Mm-hmm. And I love that sort of thing. So how about, church, we decide either or right now, let's love people. Yeah. Let's be kind to people. Yeah. Let's host people, because you just don't know who you might be hosting. What a biblical thought. The truth is that as people, all humans, we are spiritual beings. God made us that way. This is why I believe people are drawn to things like tarot cards and star signs and palm readers and psychics, all this kind of stuff. Why? Why would you do that? Because there's a spiritual yearning in everyone. They want to know something beyond what they can see. And there's this yearning for it, and which is why it rises up. But I want to say, church, we need to put our spirituality on display. People are hungry for it. So we don't just want to be kind. Yes, let's be kind. We don't just want to be loving. Yes, love. We are powerful spiritual beings empowered from heaven to earth. And people are hungry. So my challenge to you is, could you step up? You know, it was interesting talking to my son Josh, who's in Bible college right now. And this week they've just been doing some stuff. And their teacher was just challenging them about three different kinds of people groups you find in church or in life in general. There's this row up here who are the uber spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Everything's spiritual. They're in the heavenlies. They live in the heavenlies all the time. And the difficulty with that is you can be so heavenly that you're no earthly good. No one gets you. But then at the bottom level, there's people who are so earthy, they're not spiritual at all. No, they might be nice. They might be kind. They might be generous. But they're just a bit earthy. But then there's this sweet spot in the middle, where you are totally connected to the heavenlies, but can relate to the earthies. And you're able to bring heaven to earth, and you're spiritual, and know authority and power, and who you are in Christ, and the victory he's won for us. But you're able to demonstrate that to people on the earth. It's calling heaven to earth. I believe it's what Jesus did. Jesus came and made public heaven in a way that was tangible. People got it. He wasn't so weird. They're like, don't get that guy. He's a bit of a fruit loop. No. They wanted to be around Jesus. They were fascinated by him. Why? Because he was on the earth, relatable, but he knew his Father. He demonstrated power and authority. Who knows there's no sickness in heaven? Who knows there's no lack in heaven? And so Jesus came and demonstrated that. We're going to unpack some of these things as we go. This is what Jesus said of himself in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Can you see that right there? It's not natural, it's spiritual. The Spirit is on me. This isn't a normal thing, it's a supernatural thing. That was what he said. And what's he going to do with that? He's going to break chains. He's going to heal the blind. He's going to proclaim favor. And church, I want to encourage you today, that's what you're called to do. Yes, be kind. Yes, be loving. Yes, be faithful. Yes, be gentle. All of those things. But don't forget you're powerful spiritually too. You are called to bring heaven to earth, and it is astounding when it happens. Give me a wave if you've ever experienced the power of God through you. Yeah, come on, look around the room. God is moving today. He's moving today. But there's also this spiritual battle going on. Satan hates us. He hates it. Do you know Satan was the worshipper in heaven? You know, if you could picture him, he was the most beautiful angel. The word describes him as having beautiful stones all over him. He had an instrument in his body. He wasn't just good at worship, he was worship. And when the glory of the Lord came in the room, it bounced back off of these stones and just reflected God back to himself. That's what worship does. We're like, we want to be like you. And as I bow the knee and stop being me and start being more like you, it reflects him back to himself. It's worship. But Satan got proud. Well, I don't need to worship you. Look at me, I'm awesome. And God throws him out. And now Satan has made it his business to ruin the lives of people, because we people are God's favored creation. So if I can't be the worshiper anymore, I'll stop you. And so when we let go in worship, it's one in the eye for Satan, because he used to be the worshiper and he's not anymore. You are. I am. And so when we let go in worship, he hates it and God loves it. So I don't know what kind of worshiper you are, but I want to encourage you, be the best kind of worshiper, because you are breaking ground. You are making a difference. And so what happens? Jesus says this in 1 John 3 verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And Jesus is the name above every name. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's against you. He wants your life to be rubbish. He wants you to be flat as a pancake. He wants you to be struggling. He wants you to be in ill health. That's what he wants. But Jesus came to destroy all of that. And it's a spiritual thing. So we can have ideas of healthy living. We can put in good practices, and they are all good. But we also have authority from heaven spiritually to break chains. And I want to encourage you this morning, that is your lot in life. Ephesians 6 verse 10 through 12 says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We don't fight people. We're not against people. We're against the schemes of the enemy. And it's in a heavenly realm. It's the principalities and powers, you know, despair everywhere. Well, what is that? It's a spiritual thing. So what do? We don't say, oh, come on, pull yourself together. We fight in prayer. We punch through the darkness so the glory of God can come, the healing of God, the health of God. People will get well because you get on your knees and pray. Why is there so much despair? Look around you. Why is there so much hopelessness, sickness? Why are so many people rejected? Why? And I want to suggest this. It's because we have an enemy in Satan who's a spiritual enemy who's going around looking how he can ruin stuff. And he just whispers. It's been his only tool ever since the beginning, isn't it? Eve in the garden, I'll take the apple. Oh, it looks good. And then he whispers to her, did God really say you couldn't eat it? And it just puts a thought in. That's all he's got, just a whisper. But the trouble is he's going around and sending his team out there whispering in everyone's ear, oh, it will never work out for you. Oh, maybe don't get up today. No one likes you anyway. Oh, it's so difficult, isn't it? And people just spiral down. It's just a whisper. But the reason it's working is because the church has lost its power. And if the church would get on its knees and say, enough already. We are here to bring heaven to earth. Pray for your friend. Pray for your colleague. Pray for your family member. Because you'll be the one who breaks the chains over them. Because you do have authority. Yes, the enemy can do what he likes. But Jesus is the name above every name. He is the name above despair, depression, lack, and everything else that might come against you. Jesus has won. When he died on the cross, it didn't finish there. He got back up because the hell couldn't hold him. And now he says, you're my church. Go and do what I've been doing. And so, church, I want to encourage you today. We have a spiritual battle, and we are in it, and you can win it. Jesus is the name above every name. What I love about my Jesus, he came to the earth, bringing heaven to earth, just in ways people could see. Do you know, you remember the story where the blind guy, and what does he do? Spits in his eye. Well, you know, sometimes I think we're so spiritual, and Jesus is like, I tell you what. And he sees, he's like, that's awesome. Not advocating God spitting in anyone's eye, but that's what Jesus did. Bit of mud, yeah, have that. But God blessed it. Love it. He told a guy, he said, pick up your mat and walk. And I love this concept. Take hold of the thing that's been holding you. Master it and go forward. How many people have just been in the same place, going around the same circle, stuck on it. And Jesus just said, take a hold of it. I've given you authority. Go and walk. Move forward. I love the way he just brought acceptance. It wasn't just miracles. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Children in that time were like, should be seen and not heard, get out of the way, you're the kids. But not for Jesus, it's like, no, come on, they're welcome. Jesus brought acceptance with women at the time. You know, women, it's moved way, way forward. It's not where we need it to be. But Jesus was a great advocate for women. He allowed them to travel with him. He allowed them to sit at his feet and listen, a place of learning, which wasn't allowed at the time. Women responded and actually funded his ministry. You look at Joanna and Susanna, they paid for Jesus' ministry. Women. It's just like this acceptance became a two-way street. Church, we need to be accepting people, not judging people. That's what Jesus did. We're not agreeing with everyone's lifestyle, but you are welcome here. And then the Holy Spirit can come in and do his work, bring conviction and hope and health. And it's not our role. He was forgiving. Sometimes, church, I wonder if we are so harsh on ourselves that we beat ourselves up and hold ourselves down when Jesus has already forgiven us. There was the woman caught in adultery, wasn't she? And we read that story, but I always challenge myself. She was caught in the act of adultery. Well, that's pretty extreme. And the punishment for that in the time? Death by stoning. Really extreme. So she's up against a wall, ready to be stoned, and Jesus is sat there. The guys who got the stones in their hands looking and seeing Jesus, they say, Rabbi, what should we do? And Jesus is just so flipping cool, isn't he? He doesn't get all out of his pram. He just asks them a question. Which of you has not sinned? You throw the first stone. Oh, okay. Just so brilliant. But Jesus was just, they could relate to him. He brought the wisdom of heaven and made it plain. And it changed lives. It broke chains off people. He set people free and he empowered people. I don't know, but does anyone love a tax bill? I don't think they did then either. They were struggling to pay a tax bill. And they were like, Jesus, what are we going to do? He said, bring me that fish. They cut open the fish. And what's in the fish? Enough money, not just for their tax bill, but over. It's just like, that's my Jesus. You know, it's not all weird, like, oh, God will provide, God will provide. No, bring me a fish. Bring me a fish, cut it open, and there's your tax bill in your hand right there, tangible. I'm the provider. I am Jehovah Jireh. Same Jesus today. Same Jesus living in your heart. He is your provider. Why do we panic all the time and get worried about all kinds of stuff when he's our healer, he's our provider, he's our protector, he's the one who leads us forward. He's our everything and he's over every name. I love his first miracle, water into wine. That's pretty cool. Just people get this stuff. He's at the wedding and it's embarrassing. They've run out of wine. The host is like, what a shambles. Who organized that? So Mary goes to Jesus and says, sort this one out, will you, son? He's like, do I have to? It's not my turn yet. But okay, as it's you, mum. And he says, bring me the water. And he turns it into wine, and not only anyone, the best wine. And so what was an absolute embarrassment to the hosts became a great blessing to them because people were going, this wine's amazing. You saved the best till last. What a genius. And they were promoted. They were lifted high. See, in their disorganization, Jesus didn't judge it. He stepped in and made it better. Yeah. Come on, church, can we be those people? Yeah. Stop embarrassing people and making it better for them. Because people get that kind of stuff. but not just in natural ways, in powerful spiritual ways. Yeah. Things that can't, that had to be God. By way of hand, you've ever had an that had to be God moment. Come, our God is real today. We should be experiencing all the time to the point where our faith comes so high we can believe it for someone else. Are you hearing me? He made it public on earth. I love this. There was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. That's quite a long time. 12 years, imagine it. She was an outcast. She couldn't go near anyone. So not only has she been bleeding, she'd been isolated for 12 years. She was a mess. But she was desperate, and she heard about this Jesus. And Jesus is in amongst the crowd, and this woman pushes through the crowd where she shouldn't have been. Come on, I'm believing for some desperation where people are going to push through the crowd sometime. I need to be in church. I need to be around this Jesus. My life is just not where I want it to be, and I believe Jesus is the hope for me. That's where she came to, and she's pushing through. She shouldn't have been there. People were probably thinking, what are you doing here? But she touched Jesus. Jesus not even looking. This is how cool Jesus is, not even looking. And he says, well, something's happened. Something's happened. Power has left me. Everyone's like, what are you talking about, Jesus? What are you talking about? Could have been anyone. And he turns and this woman said, it was me. I was bleeding, but I just stopped bleeding. Yeah. Jesus not even looking. That is the power of my Jesus. Yeah. Could we be people who get so in tune with Jesus, we're not even looking and stuff happens? Because that's who we're called to be. Yeah. And it's bringing heaven to earth. There's this battle in the heavenlies. Did Satan want that woman to be well? No, he loved the fact she'd been bleeding for 12 years. But Jesus stepped in, not even looking more powerful than Satan. Come on, church, know your power. Know who you are. Know who resides in you. Know your portion in life. Know who your provider is, who your healer is. And don't just believe it for you. Pray for it for someone else, that someone else might be well. This is where it gets exciting for us. Because Jesus has walked the earth and just shown people what his Father looked like. Jesus has walked the earth and brought health and hope and wholeness everywhere he's been. He's brought provision where he's been. And people couldn't handle it. He was brilliant. He was so brilliant. And I love it. But then he says to his disciples, do you know what? It's better if I go. Can you imagine if we were the disciples walking with Jesus? We're like, it's definitely not better if you go. 100% not better if you go. You stay here, it's better. But he says, no, you've missed it. Because if I go, I'm going to send the helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And so there was one Jesus walking around the earth, and that was epic. But he says, it gets better because the Holy Spirit isn't limited. He can be in all of you. By raise of hand, do you believe the Holy Spirit lives in you today? Look around the room. You see, there's not one Jesus. In this room, there's 100 or 150 Jesuses. Because the Spirit of him, you're not Jesus. Don't get me wrong, you're not Jesus. But the Spirit of Jesus lives in you. Yeah. So this heavenly battle we're understanding now, they're like, oh no, everywhere Jesus goes, he breaks through and he heals people. He's messing up our plan. He's bringing life and hope and faith to people. Wow, they couldn't handle Jesus. Jesus dies and they're like, yes. But Jesus said, it was actually better because I overcome sin. You've got nothing on them now. And now I'm sending my Spirit. So we don't have one Jesus. We have hundreds of thousands or millions of Jesuses all over the world. And imagine the war in the heavenlies. They must be going, oh, for crying out loud. We thought we got rid of the one. Now there's millions of them. But the trouble is, what do they then try to do? What is the tactic of the enemy to stop these millions of Jesuses? Holy Spirit-filled Christians. Well, he tries to disempower us. You prayed that prayer, it didn't work, did it? The Bible says that, but is it working out for you? And we start retreating and we start losing a bit of faith and we start questioning. Well, I think God got us in this room today to say, come on. Jesus is the name above every name. Jesus does live inside of you by his Spirit, and your portion in life is victory. He says, I will lead my church in triumph. And if you're in the church today, you're being led into triumph. You win. Do you know his other tactic? He tries to separate us. Biggest tactic of the enemy today over the Christian people on this planet is he tries to separate us. Jesus said this, I will build my church and the gates of hell won't be able to stand against it. Jesus loved church. He was into church. He said, I long to gather my people. He was specifically talking about Israel, but we've been grafted into Israel as the church. So he wants us to gather. This is Jesus' kind of language. He says, I'm going to return for a bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. He's the bride. Do you know what the bride is? It's the church. Jesus is coming back for his church. And what so often happens is we fall out with different people and we have a bunch of Christians running around on their own, doing their own thing, and bless you and bless them. Do your best. But Jesus is into the gathering. Jesus is into something about unity, something about coming together. There is power in it. And so what does the enemy do? Separates us. God says, I will reveal my manifest wisdom through the church. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23, it says this. His comparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, for the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So here we see the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And he's put every name under his feet and placed the church above it. So I don't know what name's coming against you, whether it's disappointment, rejection, lack, whatever it might be. It's a name. But Jesus says the church is above that name, seated in the heavenly places, the place of authority. You are an important person. You are a power-filled person. You have a part to play. I don't believe it's an accident you are alive in 2023. There is stuff going on in this world, and God has put something on the inside of you to play your part in his big picture. You're important, but you're not going to fulfill it just by limping along being a half-hearted Christian. We've got to start meaning business. We've got to start fighting. We've got to start fighting for ourselves, fighting for our family, fighting for our dreams, pushing through, because the battle's raging on. Whether we like it or not, it's happening. But we have the authority. We've got to apply the authority. That takes activity. Are you with me? Touch the person next to you and say, start applying it. Look at this, back to Jacob's ladder. This is the scripture, Genesis 28. You can read it in your own time too. Genesis 28, verses 16 and 17. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So he has seen interaction with the angels coming down from heaven and from heaven to earth. He said, this is an open heaven. This is a place where heaven touches earth. And his revelation was this. This is the house of God. This is church. See, church is a place where heaven interacts with earth. And we come together and gather. We get inspired together. And then we send ourselves out to our places so that you can be the church wherever you are. The gathering's important. It's Jesus' idea, not mine. Quite frankly, I think it's a stupid idea. But it's Jesus' idea. And when we submit to Jesus' idea, it just works. And what happens is we get inspired. You may have seen the Equippers logos, the little arrow. Someone will have them on their T-shirts. And the purpose of that is that we come together and then you're like an arrow being sent out into your workplace, being sent out into your street, being sent out into your social space, being sent out into your gym, sent out everywhere. So we gather and then we send each other out empowered to be a little Jesus wherever you are. And the enemy can't do anything about it, and it's brilliant. Are you with me? So Jacob has this revelation. There's this thing between church and heaven, and God loves it. But it begs a whole bunch of questions, doesn't it? You don't have to raise your hands for this one. Ever been hurt in church? Thanks, Jerry. Ever been hurt in church? Ever been disillusioned with church? Ever feel like church is just a big old hassle? Sunday morning comes around and you think, do you know what? I just might take this week off. Wednesday comes around, it's Connect Group, I'm a bit tired. Do you know what? Band practice on a Thursday. Do you know what? Church can just be a hassle. But can you see the picture? The enemy wants to separate us. When we're apart, we're not as powerful. But when we make a choice, when we come together, we are strong. I was listening to Pastor Levi Lusco, another guy I listen to, I think he's amazing. And he shared this picture of redwood trees. And redwood trees can grow up to 350 feet tall, and they can live over 2,000 years. And he was reflecting on the fact that some of those trees might have been alive when Jesus was alive, and they're still here, which is pretty cool all by itself. But they're 350 feet tall, but their roots don't go down very deep. They only go about 20 feet deep, but they go outwards. And what happens is with the redwoods, they are next to each other. They're very densely populated. So there's loads of these trees all together, almost touching each other. And when you dig under, you see that their roots are just intertwined. So they're not deep roots, but they go wide. And the next tree intertwines with this tree, and this tree intertwines with this tree, and then intertwines with the one on the other side of it. And what happens is, when the storms come over the past 2,000 years, they don't fall over. But you know why they don't fall over? Because to knock one tree over, you'd have to knock them all over. Because they're all intertwined. And so when one starts wobbling, it's okay, because the next three are standing strong. And I just love that as a picture of church. On your own, you're easy pickings. But in the church, you can't get knocked over. I think that was a better statement. I got applause there. We are just stronger together. We just are. We just are. And I appreciate, I'm a man too. I'm married. I've got children. I've got other pressures. Sometimes church comes around and it's like, oh, but I want to inspire you this morning. When you join in with church, you're honoring God. When you're joining in with church, you're getting stronger. When you're joining in church, you're playing a part in his big picture. Satan does not want you in church. Jesus does. And if that's your only question, you make your answer. Jesus wants you here. I personally have had some of my best ever times in church. Raise a hand. We had some great times in church. Amazing times. I have seen people healed. My best story, you know, believing for bigger stories. But when I was 15, I went to a church camp. And you know what? We went to a church camp in our holidays. We chose to be in church even on our holidays. And this guy I got to know, he was 15 at the time. And he was blind in one eye. He wasn't born that way. He was messing around with his brother when they were 7 or 8 years old. And his brother threw a fork in the kitchen, went straight into his eye. And he was blinded. And we were at this conference, and the preacher there was teaching about healing, and he came up to me and said, yes, you heard all this, Barry, would you pray for me? And I'm 15 years old, I didn't know what I was doing. I just said, okay, you know, I've listened to all that, so I just do what they said. And you copy what they said. You've ever prayed for anyone? Pretty sure when you pray for someone, you do this. Anyone done that stance? That is the power stance of the Christian. You have to have a slight bended knee, lean your weight on your back foot and forward. Because clearly God can work more powerfully through that stance. Jesus not even looking. Pastor Barry. But I prayed. And I said, Jesus, I believe you can heal him. Open his eye. And I tell you the truth, his eye opened there and then. His eye opened there and then. I want to see more stories like that. In my life, in your life, in the life of this church. Why not? Same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and you. And if Jesus could do it, he wants us to do it. Do you know who doesn't want us to do it? Satan. Because he wants that blind guy staying blind. He wants that person who's depressed to stay depressed. He wants that person who can't afford the bill to not afford the bill. But Jesus says, I'm the healer, I'm the provider, I'm the protector, and we are here together. You know, I've seen my friends come and meet Jesus and get baptized. Just my absolute privilege, love it, on those baptism Sundays when they say, I publicly declare Jesus, yet they didn't know Jesus once, and they encountered people in this church and came through and said, I now believe in Jesus. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I've seen people have had dreams who may not have gone for those dreams, but because they came into a faith environment, they took a risk. You know, I love this idea that dreams are formed often in prophecy. You get a prophetic word or a dream or a picture or something someone says and it lands on you. So prophecy is planted in faith. You're like, yes. But the fruit is outworked in risk. Because you can have a dream, but unless you take a risk and step into that dream, you're never going to see that dream. And so somewhere, church, we need to be people who encourage each other. Go on, take it. Go on, go. Push that door. Ask that question. Build that business. Take that exam. Go and ask that question, make that phone call, whatever it is. And it's built in risk, there's a risk attached. But what happens is, God, you step in and God says, yes, you've taken a step towards me, I'll take 10 steps towards you. And it's risky, but that's faith. Faith is believing what you don't yet see. I don't yet see it yet, but I'm believing for it, so I'm going to take a step towards it. Are you hearing me? Come on, stir your faith, church. This is what God wants the church to be about. I've seen my own children flourish and their faith develop and be baptized and develop their spiritual gifts and get a heart for God. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But I've also had the toughest times. Church can be tough. People have completely misinterpreted me. When I planted this church 18 years ago, loads of people encouraged me. All the other church leaders, bar one, didn't. Do we need another church in this town, Barry? Who's your covering? Where have you been trained? Who are you? All this negativity. Just like, oh, thanks, guys. Now I've got a dream in my heart, a God dream. And I'm willing to take a risk. It'd be great if actually just backed me. But church can be such a difficult place. You know, there's been tough times. People fall out. People don't agree. All these kind of stuff. I've had people leaving the church. And you're like, well, I don't really understand. And all these different things happen. But it's just church. But I want to tell you this. This is people. This is not God. And sometimes we get disenchanted with church and we think that's God. But here's why church isn't perfect. Because I'm in it. Because you're in it. We're people. We get things wrong. We have different ideas. We mess it up. We make a mistake. Is that God or is that us? And people get hurt. But you know what? Somewhere in it all, it's just brilliant. Somewhere in it all, God just does stuff that we could never do on our own. You know, I like this idea of, you know, when if you've got a friend who's shown an interest in faith, what do you do? 9 times out of 10, people will bring them to church. But for them to be able to bring them to church, we need to be the church. The church has to be here. And so I love it. And what I love about our expression of church, I've got loads of friends who go to other brilliant churches, but when their friend shows an interest in Jesus, they always bring them here. And I'm like, I think that's the biggest compliment you can ever get. They bring them here because they know Jesus is here. Yes. They bring them here because they know they're going to encounter the Holy Spirit. So that's not just about me. That's about you guys. Give yourselves a round of applause. You are a brilliant church. Ephesians 2:19 through 22 says this: consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. It's a God idea. It's just an absolute God idea. For us, it's a terrible idea. But God just says something spiritual happens when we just come together. We might not understand it all or not, but when we make a choice to be in church, you honor God's idea. And God just does something special. I saw this quote earlier in the week when I was sort of preparing this, and it just struck me as true. It says this: unity is not uniformity, because unity only exists in the presence of diversity. If we're all the same and think the same, there's you know, we're all together. But when it's unity, when we have to work together because we don't agree, our ability to rise above our differences is a sign of maturity. I love that. And that right there is the mandate of the church. We're not going to agree on everything. But you know what? When we can lay aside our preferences, we represent Jesus. He laid aside his whole life to lift us up. Maybe we could lay aside our preferences to lift up God's dream, which is to have a great church all over the world, which touches lives in a way that you could never do on your own. You know, we are, the Bible calls it one body, many parts, doesn't it? You could make loads of jokes about that. I'm the eye. One body, many parts. So you could be the arm. And if as the arm, God has empowered you to be one who reaches out, you're the arm. You're the arm. And then suddenly you think, oh, church is hassle. Don't agree with what you said last week. I'm not coming. What happens to the body? It loses the arm. And someone comes to me and says, Barry, we're not reaching out very much anymore. I'm not sure what's changed. Would you know what changed? You, the arm, left. And we're stuck. But then Jesus says, I'm coming back for my bride. And wouldn't it be a shame if Jesus rocked up, came back for his bride, and he was armless and eyeless and legless? That's not the spotless bride he's coming for. So I don't know what your part to play is, but you've got a part to play, and we need to be in church together. Because he's coming back, not for a bunch of individuals doing this stuff. He's coming back for the church. his bride. And so therefore, play your part. We need you to reach out. We need you to see. We need you to speak. We need you to have an arm to hug someone. We need to be together. Maybe you're the legs who keep us strong and keep us stable. But you have a part to play here. And when you're wrestling with it, know where does Jesus want you and where does Satan want you? For me, that decides it all. Because we are stronger together. You won't fall over when you're part of the whole. Are you with me? So the Godhead, when you look at the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's right there. Just this picture of relational unity. I love it when you look through the Word. Because Jesus says, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing. So he's always pointing people to the Father. But then at the Transfiguration, Jesus is lifted up and the Father says, this is my Son. Listen to him. So you've got Jesus pointing to the Father and the Father pointing to the Son. And then Jesus says, it's much better I go because the Holy Spirit's coming. So the Holy Spirit is pointed to by Jesus. You've got Jesus pointing to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. You've got the Father pointing to the Son. And the Holy Spirit rocks up and says, let's be like Jesus. And so they're all just preferring the other one. In life, in your workplace, in your school, in your family, so often we prefer ourselves. But that doesn't reflect God because God reflects the other one. Prefers the other one, puts the other one first. And it's just this great picture of what church could look like. And so what we do when we lay down our preferences, some of you might come to a church like this and in those first two songs when we're all like this, you're sitting there going, what on earth? What a bunch of lunatics. But you know what? You'll keep coming. Why? Because that might not be your preference, but you'll lay down your preference because you can see God's here. You know, maybe you don't like the way I preach. Probably you love it. But maybe you don't. And if you don't, but you can see God's here, maybe you're saying, okay, I can get all week, I can listen to T.D. Jakes or Sarah Jakes Roberts or Joyce Meyer or whoever your favourite person is. I can listen to them all week. But I'm in this church. And for half an hour on a Sunday, I can listen to Pastor Barry. I'll lay down my preference. Now, I clearly use an example that's not true there. But you get my meaning. Are you with me? Could you be someone who says, I'm prepared to lay down the things I don't quite get and don't agree with because I can see God's doing something here and I just want to play my part in that. So that is preferring someone else. You see, when someone encounters Jesus here, when someone puts their hand up and says, I want him in my heart, when someone gets baptized, when someone steps into a new ministry, when someone gets released into a ministry gift or a Holy Spirit anointing, that's not just because there was a good preacher or a good band, it's because you were here. Because you created an environment for God to move. We're all playing our part in this. Let's never be a church that's all about the platform. I'm no better than you. In fact, most of you are probably better than me. But God's raised me up and anointed me for this, and I'm doing my best, and I love that you cheer me on. I'll lead you to the best of my ability, but I'm also just a bloke doing my best. But some of you here are amazing business people, and you'll provide finances for this. Some of you are amazing pastoral people, who will just give your time to have a cup of coffee with someone who's down. Some of you have great wisdom. And people need to come to you and say, I'm not quite sure what to do with this. And you'll talk. Some of you are just great worshippers. How good are our band? I love them. They're so anointed, so gifted. I couldn't do that, but they can. But when we put all these gifts together, can I encourage you, after this service, find someone who served in children's ministry today. I think it's the hardest place to serve in our church because they never get this bit. Now, when we have those last two songs and we have that holy moment, they're serving your children. When we have a great preacher, they're serving your children. They miss out. But you know what? They're laying down themselves to lift up the church. Say thank you. They'll be wearing bright green T-shirts. You can't miss them. Just go up to them and say, thank you. That really blessed me that you serve my children today. Amen? Some people might say the church is like a hospital. And it is, because it's where people come and get whole and healed. But I think there's another dynamic. I think also it's a battlefield. And it's not one or the other, it's both at the same time. We are called to fight in the heavens, not against people, against the spiritual forces that come against us. When your family member is in despair and depressed, love them, be kind to them, but pray for them. Yeah. See something broken, chains fall off. And that's what Jesus came to do, and he's using the church to do that. But it's also true that we love people, we're kind to people, we're generous to people, we're faithful with people. All of it is true, all at the same time. Let's see if we can get our balance right so that we serve people well. So I just want to leave you with one thought. Could we be all in? And we can be the church. You know, the whole point of this is on earth as in heaven, and we've been playing around with the two small words, on and in. You can lean on the church, be around the church, and you'll get a blessing. Just by association. Or you could be in. and you become part of the church. You know, there's association level where you like what's happening, you tend a little bit and see it. But then there's another level after association, and we call it aligning. You start seeing what's going on behind the scenes, you know, what the values are, why we do what we do. You know, you talk about the jumping, and I know it's quite controversial, not every church has that. But there are so many teens and 20s in this church growing in Christ because they see the life. And that's why we do it. Because you might be in your 50s, 60s and 70s and think, what are they jumping around for? But I tell you what, isn't it great when we see teenagers coming to Christ? And if that's what it takes. So we align ourselves with something, but then there's another level beyond that. There's agreement. There's like, I've associated for a while, I've attended a little bit, I quite like it. I've looked at what they stand for. Yeah, I can align myself with that. Now I'm going to agree. Now I'm going to join in. And there's three levels I look for in joining in. They're pray, serve, and sow. Would you pray for the church? Would you pray for the people? Would you get to know some people and ask, how can I pray for you? Would you pray for the leadership team? Would you pray for the wider church? Would you pray for protection, for effectiveness? Would you pray? Because when we all start praying, God does stuff. Would you serve? Every team who serves on a Sunday could do with more people. If you're not serving anywhere, can I ask you, think about it, pray about it, ask some questions. Where could you join in? We need more people to set up and pack down. We need more kids workers. We need more musicians. We need more people on the back line there videoing this and setting it up and making it sound good. I keep asking them to make me sound like Barry White, but they haven't nailed it yet. But they serve. And here's the thing about serving. Do you know the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea is so full of salt that nothing can live in it. But then you look at the Sea of Galilee, it's got the most amount of sea life or water life in it in the whole world. The most diverse community. Do you know they're both fed by the Jordan? They are both fed by the same source. Yet one is the most dead and one is the most alive. And this is the only difference. The Dead Sea has no outlet. So what comes in stays in. And over the course of time, water evaporates and salt stays. But Galilee has an outlet and it goes out, so water passes through. And I want to suggest that serving in a church context is an outlet for you. Don't come here and say, oh, the worship, oh, the preaching, oh, the prayer I got, and get so full that doesn't go anywhere because it becomes a negative. The Dead Sea, nothing lives there. Don't be a salty Christian. Can you hear me? You will come to life when you play your part and you start saying, I'm giving God an outlet. I'm going to serve somewhere. I'm going to join the prayer team. I'm going to do something so that what comes into me does its good stuff in me, comes alive in me, but has an outlet. And it doesn't go stagnant. It just keeps flowing. Are you hearing me? If you want to call this church home, would you serve? Would you think about it? And finally, and you know, I do life with a lot of pastor friends, would you sow into the church? The word says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So when your money is in the church, your heart will be in the church. And it's kind of the final thing. Loads of people come to church, serve in church. But for me as the lead pastor, I know when you're fully in, because you start giving. And it doesn't matter how much to me. You can decide that. But when your finances are in the church, your heart will be in the church. And we can only function and do all we're called to do with it. It's not about money. And God's our provider, not me and you, it's God. When God moves people's hearts, that's where it comes through. It's where heaven touches earth. Ultimately, whether we like it or not, God's chosen tool to release heaven on earth is the church. So what part would you play in that? And here's the thing, there's loads of brilliant churches. Even in our town, there is, I don't know how many, probably 50 churches in Colchester or something like that. Brilliant, brilliant churches. But God gives each of them a little something. We're a church and we're good at this thing. But there'll be another church and they're good at something else. They're not better than us and we're not better than them. We're just different. But when God looks at cultures, he says, oh, yeah, they're ticking that box and they're reaching these people and, oh, they've got that gift. And he looks at the church of Colchester, it's full. But when you see the church you want to belong to, you get your weight behind that church because we've got a part to play. And I want to encourage you to say, if this is home for me, I'm going to join in. I want to be all in. I'm going to pray for the church. I'm going to serve in the church. And I'm going to sow into the church. Because that shows my commitment. I'm aligning and agreeing with what God's doing here. And when you do that, Jesus wins. Satan hates it. Are you with me? Could I pray for you? Would you mind standing? Let me just invite you to close your eyes if you're willing. Father, thank you that it's our privilege to be alive in 2023. What a time to be alive. So much going on in our world, and yet here we are, your people. Lord, as we wrestle with on earth as in heaven and what that looks like, I pray you'd help us to wrestle with what being in church looks like. Father, I pray that you'd prompt people how you want to prompt them. You'd stir us, that we would have a yes in our heart to playing our small part in your big picture. Lord, thank you in advance for all the great things you're going to do through this church, for lives that will be saved, for people that will be healed, for people that will be blessed, for the difference we're going to make for your kingdom. We bow the knee to you and say, it's your church, it's not ours. We just offer our best. Lord, I want to pray for people who have ever been hurt, especially in a church context. I pray as only you can that you would just bring healing to hearts. We're just people doing our best. But would you do what you can do? Supernatural healing to you. I declare it over you in Jesus' name. Receive it. Father, even now, I pray you'd start stirring up dreams of what part I could play in church, what gift you've given me, how I could have an outlet. Guys, I want to encourage you. When you join in, church just gets better, fuller, more activity, more joy. It's just so good. Just with every eye closed, I just want to give opportunities. Is there anyone here who wants to put their heart right with Jesus? I see so many people who once loved Jesus and just drifted. Look back and think, well, where did that go? It's today the day you get right. Are you someone here who's never given your heart to Jesus? And is today the day you say, yeah, I can see what's going on in my life. I need you. All of heaven stands awaiting to cheer you on. So if that's you today, with every eye closed, and you say, yeah, I want to make sure my heart is right with Jesus, can you just give me a wave? I'm going to pray for you. God bless you there. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. So good, people getting right. I'll pray a line, and church, let's all pray the line together. Father God, thank you that you love me. Today, I invite you, Jesus, to live in my heart. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong, but I accept your forgiveness. Today, you are my Lord, my Savior, my friend. Lead me forward in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen.